and welcome to The Carpenter Shop. I'm Ricky, one of your hosts, and I'm here with my amazing wife, mother, and co-host, Krisha. Here on The Carpenter Shop, we love to talk about the master carpenter and how he is working and moving in all the parts of our lives. And that could be social media, current events, family music, woodworking, homesteading, things that we love and things that we know are important to you. So join us for that and more right here on The Carpenter Shop. All right, and we are back at it. Episode 3. Welcome back, my dear. Welcome back. It's good for you to be back with me. I mean, I enjoyed you being here last week, but, you know, I like you being here even more.
Oh, don't tell him that. He's a little bit jealous as it is.
I know. We did have a good time, and we talked about a lot of fun stuff, and I think it was a good show.
I think he likes to talk.
He does.
I think he likes to hear himself talk. I don't know who he gets that from.
I don't know. Probably you, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds a lot like me.
But it has been a busy week. We've had a lot going on. It is a busy time of the year right now. The holiday season really kicks in for us on Apple Valley Farm about September the 1st. And this year is no different. We are, we hit the ground running earlier this week. And I'm grateful and thankful for that. But it's all hands on deck right now. So, we're
both
rocking.
Both of them are on deck.
Yeah, both of them are on deck. But a lot going on. And in the middle of all that, we are we're trying to wind down our gardening activities from the summer. And, we've pretty much shut down the growing aspect of things, except for our okra. It's the last one left. It's hanging on.
What did you say?
Okra. Oh, should I have said okra?
No, it sounded like you said okra. Okra. Well, two R's.
Okra. Okra. Our okra is hanging on, but it really is, all seriousness, it's winding down. The weather's getting cool, and so it's beginning to give up the ghost on us. So it's almost done, but we are going to let it bolt. And bolting is, thank you, Amy Boren. Bolting is not something that I had heard of before earlier this week as far as gardening.
It is something you've done.
Maybe.
Bolt.
But I had not heard about it in the context of gardening. So in case you don't know, bolting is something that plants do naturally anyway. It's kind of their self-defense mechanism or their self-preservation mechanism. When they get under distress, they go into seed production mode to kind of preserve themselves and create a new generation. So they divert all their energy away from root and fruit production and put it into seed production. And that's what we want them to do right now, because we want the okra to stay on the stalk so it can bolt and produce lots of seeds that we can harvest and save for next year. So,
but how many do you actually need?
Not a lot, because like this year I only planted maybe 300 square feet of okra. So, you know, I'm going to need I don't know exactly, but I would say a good half a cup of, I don't know if I need a half cup of seeds, but anyway, a few.
A few pods?
Oh, no. And I'm assuming we'll get probably 20 to 30 seeds out of a pod. Let's just guess. So with that in mind, I'm guessing I probably would like to get a dozen good-sized pods that we can dry out and harvest the seeds from. So that's what I would hope. But anyway, the okra is, we're about to let it bolt. The seed sauna, which I am very proud of, the seed sauna is rocking and rolling. And in case you don't know, Jude and I built us a little mini greenhouse out of a clear storage tub. And it's just, we love it. It's working perfectly.
And it has a retractable roof in case you need to vent.
Yes, you could say it has, it's convertible. There we go. So, but our seeds are in it, our collard and our beet seeds, because we want to put those in for our fall crop this year. So the beet seeds are in there. We're waiting on them still to germinate, but hopefully they're doing it. And but when we lift it up, you know, to look in there, check everything out, or let it vent, it's like a little Amazon rainforest in there. It's doing really well. So I finished up some chicken broth, some homemade chicken broth last week. Very excited about that. I made a couple of batches. The first one, it wasn't a failure, but it was very strong, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It wasn't bad. It just had one. It had a flavor that, again, wasn't bad. We just couldn't figure out.
What was that? What we put the.
The thyme.
That's not funny.
You put the thyme in. Anyway, we didn't do that the second go around, which made it better.
That's offensive to me.
Yeah. Thumb.
Yeah, we put the thumb. I don't have any thumb. Okay, we'll stop that. Anyway, we did put the
now you can't say it.
You evil
thyme.
Woman. You
thyme.
Evil woman. The thyme. We put the thyme in there. It was really strong. And, I mean, so strong that when she made the chicken and dumplings,
which were still good. They just weren't.
Yeah, it was very thymey, wasn't it?
Well, when you're used to a certain flavor, like your mama's or grandmother's, and yeah, it doesn't come out exactly like that.
Yeah, but we tweaked it and took the thyme out. We took a little time out. Took a little time out and made another batch, and it worked out great. I made some egg drop soup from it, which to me
was what you wanted to begin with.
That is what I wanted. That was.
But you know, the time might have been okay for that.
I don't know. I don't know if time really goes well with an Asian dish. I don't know. But it turned out. I thought it turned out well. I drizzled the egg in there in very thin ribbons. It was very nicely done.
No.
It was like Gordon Ramsay quality.
No. That's saying a little too much there.
I didn't tell you the Food Network called me and wanted to know if I would, you know, like beat Bobby Flay with my egg drop soup. I said, nah, I'm not really interested in it, so. I had to let them down easy.
And then you woke up.
We're also, I've been talking a lot about beekeeping. And I know that was your idea originally. But, you know, in the beginning of Apple Valley Farm, that was one thing that we talked a lot about, was beekeeping. And we just haven't pursued it because it's a little daunting, you know. There's a lot involved. We don't know anything about it.
No.
And it's intimidating to me dealing with a hive of bees. Because I know, like, if I'm out in the yard, if I get stung by one thing, you know, I react to it pretty evidently.
Ninja-like.
So, yeah. Yes. Yes, I do my air ninja stuff. So, obviously, if we got a hive of bees, if one stings me, which, from what I understand, isn't all that uncommon, you know, we don't want to freak out because then, you know, we might have like a killer bee attack or something. I don't know. I don't know. So, anyway, that's a concern.
Probably no different than a bunch of angry women.
Maybe not. But I do want to look some more, maybe over the winter, we'll look some more into some beekeeping stuff, and we'll see. I have been reading about it in one of the books that I'm reading right now. I'm always looking at blogs and listening to podcasts, and I do a lot of reading for gardening and homesteading and things like that. And the one I'm reading right now is Backyard Farming on an Acre. It's a living free guide, and it's a great book for what we're doing here. I'll post a link to it in the description so folks can grab a copy. I think it's really a great read. It's not a deep read, but it's a good read. So
the beekeeping would be good if we had our own honey.
Yes.
That would be good for Jude.
Yes, it would, because in case folks don't know, Jude has some pretty strong allergies. Mm-hmm. And a lot of grasses and stuff like that. So, yeah, some local honey would be ideal, from what I understand. It would be ideal for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would love for us to get more into that and learn a little more about it. So the other day, I go to the mailbox, open it up. There's a hand-addressed envelope in there, addressed Apple Valley Farm. I had no idea who it was from. We didn't recognize the return address. Opened it up. There's a check in there, like for a lot. I won't say how much it is, because as I reveal who it went to, I don't want to get in anybody
in their business.
Yeah, I don't want to make it public, you know. But it was a good sized little check, and so I think,
of course, I'm checking it over to see if it's real or if there's an expiration day.
Right.
Do you have to sign up for something, respond within 30 days? It's an offer only good for so long.
Yeah, I was thinking that surely it's some sales gimmick or, you know, some politician sending some junk out or something. But anyway, it was a legit check from a local business or nearby local business. And it was made out to Apple Valley Farm. And so, wow, you know, we were thinking, whoa, what do we do with this? Did we sell something that we've forgotten about? But anyway, couldn't figure out what it was for. We knew it wasn't for us. So we figured they had sent it to the wrong place, because we have people coming up here all the time asking about, somebody was up here a couple of weeks ago asking where were
the goats?
Goats? They wanted to buy some goats. And we don't
have Jude wasn't even here.
But there is an Apple Valley Farm right up the road from us, and they are a cattle farm, but they don't have goats either. But anyway, we thought that this check probably belonged to them, because in the memo on it, it said it was for a cow, or for the cows or something like that. So anyway, went up there, though. They didn't recognize who it was. I got in touch with someone else. They didn't know who it was. I tried to look these people up online. There was no website, no social media page. I couldn't even find a phone number for them. So
for the business that sent it, the business that should have received it.
Yeah, so we were stumped. And frankly, I was thinking, okay, I want to do the neighborly thing here, but I've got my limits. I'm not going to spend all day trying to track this down. So last effort, we decided to shoot on down the road to Apple Valley Processing, which is down the road from us. They process beef and pork and deer and things like that. And as it turns out, that was theirs. They had been waiting on that. So anyway, a little bit of an exhaustive effort, but it felt good to kind of, you know,
do the right thing.
Yeah. So, but it was a little tempting to think about, wow, what if we just endorsed this and dropped it in the bank, you know? But yeah, that wouldn't have been the right thing. But I believe, you know, God, He takes care of us in ways that we least expect it. And, you know, few days later, after doing that, we got an unexpected legitimate direct deposit from a company that I haven't done business with in forever. And so that came in out of the blue, and
he was testing us the first go around.
Maybe he was, but it did seem to work out, so that was really cool. So the other day, I posted something on Facebook that, I wound up sharing it because I had seen a post from Michael Sweet. He's the lead singer with Stryper, the heavy metal Christian group. And I'm a fan of Stryper and Michael's. And so when I saw this from him, it was really interesting to me, and I wanted to share it. And being a musician myself and sort of an amateur songwriter, anything that has to do with the music business is always interesting to me. But I shared this and left a little comment, and it wound up getting a lot of attention, and a lot of discussion came up about it, and it did me some good. And so I wanted to kind of share that here today, and let's talk it out for a second. But basically, I don't even remember the name of the artists, if you want to call them that. These two women had put out a song. It's called, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, it's called WAP.
Or I have no idea.
WAP, which is an acronym for...
Something terrible.
Yeah, something I can't say. Anyway, this song was the number one song in the nation that week, which blew my mind when I looked up the lyrics and when I saw what WAP stood for, and when I read just a few of the lyrics, it was musical pornography is what it was. It was disgustingly
vulgar,
graphic, and it was terrible. So anyway, I did post something about it. A lot of people engaged and discussed it, and of course most of my friends are Christians, but not all are, so we got some opposing points of view on it, which is fine. And I will confess, I did leave the discussion with some questions for my own heart after this. But I mean, what do you think, Krisha? I mean, you know, what do you think about this song being out there for everyone to just have access to?
Well, I had never heard of it until you posted that, and really about all I know is what you posted, just because I'm not going to look up something like that.
Right.
And I'm certainly not gonna listen to it. But it was funny because the day before you posted that, a comedian that I follow had posted something about, you know, where are the mamas at? They need to be watching what their daughters are doing on TikTok, and
right,
they're recording themselves to this song and the language, and I had no idea, based off his post, what he was even talking about, and was kind of odd for him. He's outspoken, but I just couldn't follow it until you posted. And then I went back and looked, and I thought, oh, now I understand why he's saying what he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was so derogatory and disrespectful, in my opinion, of women, but that these right. women wrote and are singing this about themselves. And I thought, do you not have more self-respect? And it's what women have done to bring ourselves to an equal standpoint with men, and then you get there and this is what you fought to get there for.
Oh, yeah.
It was just very disrespectful. And so I did have a conversation with Emma.
Oh, really?
On the way home from school, and to see if she had heard it, because yeah. she is on TikTok. But more so, I wanted her to know that's not who we are. That's not what we're going to associate ourselves with. And that's not how you should think of yourselves, right. yourself as a woman or any other individual. It was just very distasteful. Just very, it's terrible.
Well, I had a lot of friends who are, I don't want to say who aren't Christians. Some of them are not Christians, but some of them have a little more of a liberal point of view than, you know, than we might typically have. And they're saying that, you know, they have, these people have artistic freedom. They have their First Amendment rights. Somebody else had said, you know, hey, the song is vulgar, but it's just fun. It's just a fun song. And I thought, are you crazy? I mean, and if that person is listening, I'm really sorry, but I would not want my kids listening to that. And on top of that, I know we're adults and we can make our own choices and do what we want, but the thought of God knowing that I would listen to something like that is embarrassing. I would think that it would... Mm. It would disappoint him greatly. So,
well, I mean, one of the things that we're tasked with as parents is raising your children to have good moral character and to apply the truths of His Word to their everyday activity. And if I were out in the grocery store using that kind of language to talk to one of my children, I would be reported for it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And I would be lambasted as a parent. But you can say, oh, well, it's just a fun song.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't agree with that. I don't want my children to treat other people with that much disrespect. And it's just, I don't understand why you would put something out there so derogatory.
Yeah, I agree. But so I'll say this. So we're on the same page. All of my Christian friends, we're all on the same page about our reaction to the song. What I left with kind of ringing in my head was the question, as Christians, what should our reaction be? I mean, obviously, we know that our reaction is disgust. Our emotional reaction is disgust, maybe even anger. But what should our outward reaction be? Should we make it our mission to put a stop to this song? Should we have a law put in place to prevent things like this from being done? Or is there something more compelling that we, not that we can do, but maybe that we should do, you know? I mean, I think my reaction is, I'm going to make sure nobody hears this song ever again. I don't know
if... That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, and I don't know if that is the position that Christ would want us to take. Now, does this song upset him? I would say absolutely it does. But what should we do?
Well, I mean, there's so much thrown at our kids anyway through social media or even in the classroom, in the schools. They're exposed to so much that you have to have some place that they're grounded and that they know what's right and what's wrong and how you treat people. And you can't continuously just put garbage in or garbage is coming out. So if they're constantly hearing that kind of stuff, that's what's going to come out in their interaction with other people. And again, would you want Jude to be dating your daughter, talking to your daughter that way? No.
Yeah.
Would I want him to be talking to your daughter that way? Absolutely not. So you've got to, again, I think it starts at home, and you have to have a place for your children to have a firm foundation in what is right and wrong.
That's a tough discussion to have, but I do think we need to have it. I think Christians need to have it, and I think we need to very carefully police what we say. Not that we're trying to be politically correct, But I think, of course, there's this attitude among, especially among non-Christians, that says, hey, I thought you're supposed to be Christians and Jesus loved everybody. And yeah, it's, I think they're confusing love with tolerance. And Jesus did love everybody. He didn't tolerate everybody. I think he was very clear on what he declared was right and wrong. However, now I'm getting off into something else, but I don't think that's our role as Christians. I do think that we're in a position where we need to extend
grace. Again, gotta extend some grace and some compassion.
Yeah, yeah. But we also have to have our line. And not that we're trying to force anybody else to adhere to our line, but we've got to have our line that we want.
And I think that challenges us if we're going to say this is not, we're not going to tolerate this, we're not going to be a part of it. It challenges us to even more try to walk closer to what he would have us to do. Because if you say, hey, we're not doing this, and you make a stand and you draw that line in the sand, then people are going to watch you and see if you cross it or not. So you have to put some feet on that.
All right, so last week Jude and I did a piece on the world's greatest fast food French fries. And we declared McDonald's as the winner, and it was thrilling and exciting. And then when we told Emma about it, I think Emma kind of freaked out because she is like the French fry, you know, guru in our family. So she's French fry crazy. I think it kind of put her off that we didn't ask her to be a part of it. So here we are back. We're going to revisit this topic again. We're going to get Emma's professional expert input on this, and we're going to talk about the world's greatest fast food French fries, and we're going to see if this week's results confirm last week's or if we have a new champion. So, all right. So, Emma, I'm glad you're here. Glad you are here. All righty. So, I know you love French fries, but why should everybody else lend weight to your opinion? Why?
Because, like, even if we go somewhere and if you're not that hungry, you get French fries. Everyone gets French fries all the time.
Okay.
And, like, they're good. They taste good. They're pretty easy food to eat. And it's just, they're just, like, immaculate. I love them so much.
They're the perfect food, right?
Yes.
Okay. Emma, when we go somewhere, Emma's like, she knows everybody's fries because she gets fries everywhere we go. Sometimes that's all she gets. Not just sometimes, a lot of times.
Yeah, I'll just be like after school, I'll be like, can we go here and get just fries, please?
She's almost freakish about it. She's.
I'm not. It's a healthy obsession.
Anyway, we're going to have Emma weigh in on this because, I mean, I really do think she has some valid input on it. So let me just lay this out real quick. So what I did is I wanted to be fairly scientific about it because last week Jude and I just kind of talked it out. But I wanted to come up with some sort of a grading system. So we've got all of our fast food locations listed here. And let me read them off. McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Zaxby's, Checkers, Chick-fil-A, Freddy's, I don't know. But anyway, Freddy's, Arby's, Five Guys, and Emma wanted to include Bojangles. I had KFC, but in all reality, I mean,
Nobody goes to KFC to get fries.
Nobody goes to KFC.
I don't think many people go to Bojangles to get fries, but they're underrated. Fries are underrated at Bojangles. Hashtag right. Bojangles fries matter too.
And so our criteria are taste, texture, size and cut, seasoning, ease of consumption, and that means how easy is it for you to get the fry from the container to your mouth? And I'm thinking about like while I'm driving, but it doesn't have to be, but how easy is it to eat? And then my word that I'm very proud of this, I made this word up. I think I want to submit it to Webster's or something like that. I don't know if you can, but it's condimentality. And condimentality means how well does the fry transport the condiment to your mouth? So,
okay,
that's my
word.
Your
new word.
That's my new word,
and
I'm very happy with it. So, anyway, so and I, as we were going through this earlier, this process could take a lot of time. And we don't want to, like, spend 5 hours on here doing this. But what I want to do is go through, like, maybe the top three fast food candidates. And these are, let's say, the top three that we think could be the winners. And we'll grade those out, get a score, and give a preliminary champion. We'll go back and we'll do the others. I'll post a link to the final total scores, but I believe if we pick the top what we believe will be the top three and score them out, I think that'll work for the time constraint we've got right now. Is that cool?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me the three you think will be in the running.
Okay, we'll do McDonald's because that's what y'all did last time.
Okay.
Zaxby's and Arby's are the other two.
Why Arby's? Why not like Checkers or something like that? Or Chick-fil-A, because they have the waffle fry, right? So
Chick-fil-A fries are bland to me. They're bland.
So
they
don't even have a chance.
They're not the best. I get Chick-fil-A fries when you guys pick to go to Chick-fil-A.
Okay. All right. So McDonald's, Zaxby's, and the Arby curly fries, right?
Yes.
All righty. The springy fries.
Yes.
Okay. So starting with McDonald's, let's just go through our six criteria. And you grade them out from a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being worst, 5 being extraordinary. Okay?
Okay. Right. So McDonald's taste, I will give them a 4 because they're pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay. You know that they are like last year's Super Bowl champs, right? I mean, they're like the perennial,
yeah, that
always
was
the winner.
That was last year. This is this year.
Okay.
So
okay,
nobody has asked me about this before, but now this is my opinion.
Okay,
so texture, right. Sometimes they're like crunchy, and they have McDonald's always has like those like short pointy fries.
I know, I don't like
those. And I don't like those. So give
like
that a 3.
Okay,
and then size, cut, whatever. They're pretty small, but if you get like one of the long ones, those are good.
Okay.
So I'd give that a 3. And okay, then seasoning, all they have is salt.
The salt is critical to me.
Well, I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay. Well, and I will say, I'll agree with you. I think if you get a fry that does not have salt, I think that's borderline criminal. I don't think anyone should ever transfer a fry to a customer without salt.
Yeah,
it's
terrible. Always, whenever we go to McDonald's, you always ask for salt.
I know.
Because like we always have to get salt.
I know. Because I don't, you know, you get these companies like, say, a McDonald's, and they get so socially conscious that they want to be everyone's health monitor. Well,
it's McDonald's. How are they a health monitor? It's McDonald's.
I want the salt. And if I don't want the salt, then I will ask for an exception. Anyway, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Okay,
ease of consumption. Again, they're pretty small, so I think that's that can be a good thing. So I give it like a 4.5.
Okay, all right.
And then condimentality, they're small. They're little. So if you get like one of the like the longer ones, you can get like enough. But if you get those like small pointy ones, it's like nothing happens. So two.
Can you say that word again? Condimentality.
I said it.
Say it again.
Condimentality.
I'd just like to hear somebody else say it. It's like somebody else singing a song that I've written or something. Okay. Okay, so that totals up those scores. No. Let's do the other two, then I'll tell everybody all the totals at once. Okay. All right, so moving on to Zaxby's?
Yes.
Okay, Zaxby's. Okay. Let me have it.
So, taste, assuming that we get good Zaxby's fries.
Okay.
5. Immaculate.
Immaculate. I agree.
Gorgeous.
I agree.
Texture, a 4.
Okay.
They can be burnt and crunchy sometimes, but a 4.
I would say, okay.
Cut, slash size. Mm-hmm. They're good. A good crinkle cut fries, good 4.
It's hard to beat a crinkle cut fry.
And then right. Zaxby's seasoning? 5.
Forget about it. I know it. They're like...
Obviously.
Yeah, if you get them without seasoning, because you get some lazy idiot back in the back, that they should be fired for that.
Didn't they used to have like shakers of the seasoning like out on the little like condiment table?
I don't know.
I think they had that at one point.
Now that would be a great idea.
I want to go to Zaxby's and ask for like just the seasoning.
We've got do you know Sabrina Peavy at the church?
Yeah.
You know Mr. Gregg's wife?
Yes.
So she works for Zaxby's. We need to get with her and say, hey,
what is in this?
I know. Put us some shakers, some seasoning shakers out on the table. Yes. That would be okay. All right. Yeah, we'll tell Sabrina about that when we see them at church.
Okay. Condimentality is your word.
Yes.
5. Because they're, even if you get a short one, they're like thick enough for you to still get enough.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're thick, but they're not too big. Like at Chick-fil-A, some of their fries are like way too big. They won't even like fit in the dipping thing.
I know. What kind of an engineering faux pas is that?
But at Zaxby's, they're thick enough to get a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not, but they still fit in the thing.
And
so
ease of consumption for Zaxby's?
Oh, that was a 3.
A 3. All right. Okay, that's an impressive run on Zaxby's.
Because Zaxby's fries, they're too good for this
okay.
world.
Okay. All right, one more within this time, so let's do Arby's.
Okay, so taste, a 4.
Really?
Yeah.
A 4. Okay.
I like Arby's.
Okay.
Texture, a 5. They're good. The ends are crunchy, and the middle is. They're so good.
Okay, I'm not gonna debate this with you because you're like the quote unquote expert. So.
And then, size, slash cut, a 5 because they're curly fries. They're fun, for everybody.
Okay.
And then seasoning, a 3. Because do they have seasoning on them, or is that just like the breading stuff?
I think that's what they're coated in. I think so. Yeah, I don't think they have seasoning. Not that I don't know of.
A 3.
Yeah. Okay.
And then ease of consumption. I'm going to give that a 2 because if you get like one of those really long, like snaked up that are like stuck together, I would have a car crash trying to like get Arby's fries.
No, I agree. And I had not thought about that, but that is so true because with every order of Arby's fries, you're going to get one of those slinky French fries.
Trying to like shake them apart and you like swerve into somebody's car.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah, 2 is warranted on that.
And then condimentality, again with like the long stuck together ones, you're either going to get a lot of fry and not a lot of condiment. Because it won't fit in the thing.
Yeah, you got those little bitty white cups that you put the stuff in, but then you got these great big fries.
You gotta, like, squish it.
Yeah, that's the problem with the waffle fry, also. It's too big for the condiment container.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a 2 on condimentality.
Okay, so that brings us to, and this is a tentative scoring. But okay, so McDonald's, which is the one to beat. They always win this. And they won with me and you last week, because when you get a McDonald's fry right, it's hard to beat. They have a good fry. It's good on so many levels. But your scoring, your expert scoring, gave them a total of 18.5 out of 30, out of a possible 30. Arby's, a total of 21 out of 30. And Zaxby's, a whopping 26, Jack, out of 30. So, ding, 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 ding. So, I would say, tentatively, based on this, and we don't know what the others will score out at, but I would say these are probably the top three. Tentatively, it looks like Zaxby's may be our new world champion. And that's a big deal. I mean, that is a big deal. So, you know, we'll let Sabrina know.
Yes.
And, you know, we'll have our people let the Zaxby's people know, so we can get together and maybe they'll give us like a lifetime supply of
I would like to be sponsored by Zaxby's.
I just want to be sponsored by the Zaxby's sauce.
Also, Zaxby's, not only do they have good fries, immaculate chicken, and immaculate ice.
They do have the good ice, don't they?
They have the good ice.
Yeah,
they and do. Chick-fil-A used to have the good ice, but they got like their ice got bigger. So now Zaxby's is the only one like down where we go.
But if you want to, I mean, if you want to compare service, nobody can compete with Chick-fil-A. They are the bomb.
But if you get Zaxby's on a good day, they're tolerable.
You're right. I love going to Chick-fil-A because they make me feel so good about spending more than everybody else charges for the same thing. They're just real, and it's not that I love their food that much, but their service is so good.
Sometimes I feel like Chick-fil-A employees are faking me out, like they actually don't like me, and they're being nice because they have to, and then when I leave, they're like, who was that?
All right, so Emma, thank you for being here. That was great. All right, so we possibly have a new world champion. Let's see how this all shakes out. And again, I will post a link to the final results and all the details. Emma, thank you so much for today. Thank you for being here.
This was a good time. It was fun. I had fun.
Good. All righty. We'll do it again.
Yes.
Okay, so now it is time for our scripture aha moment. And this week is Crecia's week to lay it on us. So I have no idea what scripture you're going with. So what you got for us to discuss?
Leviticus. Nah, just kidding.
Thank goodness.
Nah. Actually, it's one of the most common passages people can quote it.
Okay.
So, Psalms 23.
Oh,
which
okay.
Most everybody has heard
okay.
at some point in time. I think it's used for a lot of funerals, which is it's kind of a downer. But anyway, it's in this particular setting, it's not a downer. It is uplifting and encouraging. So
okay.
I'm reading one of my devotionals during the mornings is called Transformed. And this is a women's devotional. And it's an uplifting, encouraging, get rid of the worry and fear and stress and that kind of thing. So in three different lessons, it talks about this passage and breaks it down. So we won't get through everything.
Okay.
So this is just the first three verses.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's do it then.
And so I'm reading from the book, which has it in the Amplified Bible. So it's, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life." And so to reread it, putting in the quotations that they added, which is always helpful to make it make more sense to you. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life or myself. Huh. So, of course, this is, you know, written by David, and he was a shepherd and all that good stuff. But it's talking about him renewing you and leading you in a way to refresh your soul, which is, you know, depending on what you're doing in your life, whether it's parenting or marriage or work or small business or gardening or politics or whatever, sometimes you need a refresher. You need something to cling to and to encourage you, and that's what the beginning of the scripture talks about. But my aha moment within this, because I like to find things in scripture that is, like I grew up being taught about the scripture. And so anytime I find something that makes me think, that's an aha for me. So within the lesson, it says, keep in mind that sheep, like humans, are a bit skittish. Rushing water frightens them. So for them to drink, the water must be still. And so that didn't occur to me until I read that about this passage, and I thought how many times he leads us in a way that we may really, maybe we take it for granted or not understand why we're going that way, but he's already taken into consideration something in our lives that maybe we didn't notice.
I think I had told you that when we read the 23rd Psalm, the thing that always comes to mind is the fact that, you know, David was a shepherd, and he not only knew his flock, but he knew his sheep. He knew the individual sheep, and I can only assume that each individual sheep has its own personality. They have their own things that I'm sure they have things that generally sheep are fearful of, but I'm sure some sheep are more fearful of certain things than others. And so just like us, and with God as our shepherd, he knows that there are certain things that make us more uncomfortable than others, and there are certain things that bring us peace more so than others. And he knows us. He knows us well enough to be in tune with what's important to us. So anyway, I think that's a really cool way to look at that passage right there. And in today's world, we definitely need peace. We need some harmony with all the stuff that's going on, especially stuff in the news and all, you know.
Well, and another thing that it pointed out was, you know, you don't really learn and listen if you're in the chaos that's going on. And that could just be the run-of-the-mill stuff, like, you know, getting your kids up, getting them fed, getting them out the door, getting to work on time, getting them to practice. You know, that's chaos.
Yeah.
But throw in a flat tire, throw in a disgruntled coworker or customer or...
breaking a glass.
Breaking a glass.
Yeah. I would never do that and get mad about it. Lose my temper.
Never.
Never.
Or politics and religion and...
Politics don't bother me.
All the things that you see on those news channels we shall not mention. All of that, when you're paying attention to all that, you can't really pay attention to him. So in the quiet times when he leads us beside the still waters, he's basically leading us away from the chaos and all that in the moment. And so he's pulling us away so he can feed more than just our bodies, but he can feed our soul and give us truths to rejuvenate us and get us back out there. And I always like the fact that, you know, David was like the runt of the bunch. when they went to his father's house to choose the next king. David was not even there. Mm. And they said, hey, you got any more there? Got any more sons? Can we take another look? And David was in the field. And so I'm always encouraged that God can take someone from such small means and bless them and use them for his glory. And so he raised David up to be a great man that he said was after his own heart. So
cool. Yeah. That's good.
Anyway, there's two more after this that have additional aha moments.
Okay. Well, we'll do those next week. So, or one or both or whatever we have time for next week. Is that cool?
Well, as much as you talk, we'll probably take 2 weeks to do that. Yes.
All right. We are to the Jihah moment. And last week I did the Jihah. Well, actually, I did the Jihah the last two. So it is your time, sweetheart, to Jihah. So what are we gonna throw out there? What you got?
Well, since you said sweetheart,
oh me,
this is a little bit out there, and just occurred to me today while I was washing dishes, as I am often doing. In my 44 years, and yes, I'll tell you my age because that's an accomplishment. I have never been in a home with a functioning dishwasher that was not at the end of my arms. So.
I'm a terrible husband.
Well, I mean, this isn't the only place I've ever lived, but anyway. That's another story. Maybe next week I'll talk about dishwashers. But this week, no, as I was washing dishes, you know, I get my hands all nasty with all that stuff. The kids never rinse out of their dishes. But anyway, and I never take my rings off.
Mm-hmm.
I never take my wedding rings off. And I know that I probably should. And there's some women out there thinking, oh, she's going to lose her wedding rings. But I've got guards on them to try to keep them on my fingers. But the thing I wanted to ask you about is wedding rings. Are they, what's your opinion? Are they important? Do they have some significance? Or are they just now another material possession that people can add as an accessory as you don't even have yours on?
I don't have mine on because you know what I was doing last night, right? Washing dishes.
There is no footage to verify that.
Now, I usually have mine on unless I'm doing some kind of work that makes it dangerous for me to have it on, or if I'm washing the dishes, I'll usually take it off. So, but no, I don't have it on now because I have a habit of forgetting to put it back on, don't I? So, anyway, to answer your question, I think two things about this. Number one, yes, I do think that wedding rings and the adornment associated with a wedding ring, probably more so for a woman than it is for a man, the adornment has become so much of the focus that I think we've almost, it's become the most important part of the ring for a lot of people. On the other hand, I believe, and I still think a lot of people believe, that the ring has a great deal of significance. I think it represents, you know, our bond. It represents the covenant that we have in God between one another. Now, I have no idea what the current Western history and significance is of the wedding ring, but I would assume, at least speaking for America, I would assume that it's a relatively recent thing. I'm just wondering, like Little House on the Prairie. I don't remember Charles Ingalls having a wedding ring. Maybe he did. I don't know.
No, but it's. It was more of a thing for the woman to wear when the man didn't.
Not so
have
much
to.
The man. I got you.
So why didn't the man have to?
That is
you want people to know I'm your woman, but I don't. It's not the same. I don't need them to know you're my man.
That is a great question. It was probably. I'm going to guess it was probably a combination of, in all honesty, I know this isn't very politically correct, but it probably was a combination of the woman did have to demonstrate her commitment to the man, but the man, socially speaking at the time, he probably wasn't as required to do it. And then probably the man probably didn't want to wear a ring because that was probably considered, I don't want to say frivolous, it was probably considered feminine, yeah, to wear jewelry, I would assume. So,
well,
I'm not saying it was right. I'm just guessing.
Well, Wikipedia says, and you know that's fact.
Yes.
The Western traditions of wedding rings can be traced to ancient Rome and Greece and were first associated with the marital dowry and later with a promise of fidelity.
That sounds very odd coming from the infidelity center of the world in Rome.
It says it finds its origin in pagan mythology and superstition. So yeah. That's way over my head. I don't know what that doesn't mean anything to me.
I could see that. I mean, I don't know exactly what mythology is associated with the ring, but I would say that that does make perfect sense. But it doesn't take away from the fact that it has become the symbol that most of, at least the Western world, recognizes as the Christian symbol of unity between a man and a woman. It's just, I don't know where that transition happened, but I do believe for that reason.
I didn't do that part of the research.
I mean, I would say that the wedding ring, without a doubt, is definitely a very important part of our culture, and it is a critical part of our Christian lives because it reminds us of the bond and the unity and the covenant that you and I have made with each other. And it's a symbol to the rest of the world, not just to remind us, but
of who you belong to.
That's right.
Well, I have to say, I know you often forget it, but you usually will look for it if you're going off, especially if you're going somewhere without me. You will look for it and put it on before you leave.
Well, you know, I mean, women just flock to me.
Oh, here we go. I should have never said that.
You know, I gotta try to fight some of them off. So, you know, figure if they see the ring, you know, that'll deter the bulk of them. Yeah. Then the others I'll just have to beat with a stick. So.
Okay. Anyway... Moving around along, so do you think it has any biblical ties? Or is it just a secular thing?
I can't remember anything. I'm not a biblical scholar, but I can't remember anything in the Bible.
Well, I did find this funny thing.
All right.
And that's the reason I'm asking, because it's kind of funny.
Okay.
It says, although wedding bands aren't directly mentioned in the Bible, other types of rings are mentioned, which that is, I know, that to be true throughout many passages, particularly in Genesis. Abraham's servant gave Rebekah a nose ring to claim her as Isaac's bride.
Look out. There we go. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to get you a nose ring.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking about, I thought that's what you did to the bull. I thought that's what you did to the cow in the pasture, you know, so you could lead him around. So is that the thing? You're supposed to lead me around?
This makes me think of the wedding ring. Makes me think of a golden ring with one tiny little stone.
No, stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
You know,
no.
Who is that? George Jones.
George Jones.
Tiny little stone waiting there.
Okay, that's enough. Cut it off. Anyway, I just know that it seems to have gone from something that was very treasured to be able to give that as a gift of yourself to your spouse, to now it's just the stone better be bigger than this person's.
I know. And that's, it's, I think it's sad for both sexes. And speaking as a man, though, I can say it's one more added pressure on the man to feel like he's got to measure up. And I know women have their own issues that they have to deal with, and they have to you know, measure up to, and their peer pressures and stuff like that. But, you know, for the man, it is a peer thing. You know, you got to get the big ring. And if you don't, then, you know, well, why not? Oh, you couldn't afford it? Well, why can't you afford it? You don't have enough money. You're not successful enough. It has become something that it never should have been. Not to everybody, but in a lot of ways. But that's just human nature, I think. We take something like that and it gets twisted around, and it becomes something that we probably never should have allowed it to be. But I do still think, in light of everything, the wedding ring still remains as a testament to the world of the love between a man and a woman. So
you still wear yours?
Of course.
Which one of them do you like the best?
That's not funny at all. That's not even funny. So just because I can't keep up with a wedding ring doesn't have anything to say about my character or me as a person. You know, I have had this 98 cent silicone ring for a long time now. But I have lost a couple of rings. No, I've lost one ring, right?
One.
I've lost one.
The most expensive.
The first one, we had only been married just a few months, and
I was devastated.
I know. I was devastated. I'm still devastated. It was a beautiful ring. It had an inscription inside. It was really special, but, you know, I took it off. I was doing some work or something outside, laid it up on the back of the car, and, you know, so when you went to town,
gone.
So did the ring. Yeah, or it went somewhere. Yeah. We never did find it.
No.
Never did find it. So, anyway, and then the other one, you know, we had to replace it because I just got, it shrank.
You got happy. Yeah. You got real happy over the years.
You're such a good cook, you know. It got to where I couldn't even hardly get it off. So, anyway, and now I got one that actually fits, but, you know, it's the silicone ring. So, but it doesn't matter if it's a gold, silver, titanium, silicone, tattooed ring. It doesn't really matter what it is, as long as I believe you take it seriously as that symbol.
What it was intended to represent.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Well, I'll come up with something off the wall. Next week we'll talk about flowers.
Oh, me. All right. So that is, that's about all the time we've got for today. We went a little bit long, but I think this was a really good episode. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the discussions, and again, I think they went a little bit long, but wow, I think we got some good stuff in there. So hopefully everybody enjoyed listening to this. Hope it was thought-provoking, and hey, maybe we'll get together and do it again next week, right? I'm looking forward to it. A couple of things before we go. Just wanted to remind you that if you like what we're doing here on the Carpenter Shop or at Apple Valley Farm, you can get a t-shirt, coffee mug, something like that. And we do all of that stuff through bonfire.com. We'll have a link in our description if you want to get some of that. That would be great. And thank you again very much for being here and for spending your time with us. And as always, we pray that God uses our time today to continue to speak to you until we get together again. And in the meanwhile, please feel free to join us on and subscribe to our Apple Valley Farm YouTube channel. You can also learn more about us and more on each podcast on our blog over at Apple Valley Farm GA. .com. AppleValleyFarmGA.com. A huge thank you to our colleagues, our sponsors, and our faithful listener support team. If you would like to help us do what we do by supporting us, please click on the support button if you see one wherever you're listening, or if you want to, you can find us directly at patreon.com/Apple Valley Farm. And with that, we are done for this week. Hope everyone has a great day. God bless, be safe, and until we meet again,
happy trails.
Happy trails.